Bad news keeps pouring on me. Bad news keep pouring on me. Bad news keep pouring on me. Bad news keep pouring on me.
Welcome to Ready to Rock Under Fire. Pat,
Mike, and Steve. Three concerts back in time. If you could travel back in time and see three concerts that you missed, that you were either too young for or you just weren't on the planet for.
Or you realized that one of these bands later in life were like, hey, you know what? These guys are pretty goddamn good. And you became a fan of them later in life.
Later on, you say, wait, hey, you know, hey, I should have went to see that show.
Mm. You started off.
That's a great question.
I think you should start it off. It is a good question, right? It's a good topic.
Yeah.
You get massive feedback from this one, too, which brings me to Twitter, Rock Under Fire on Twitter, Rock Under Fire on Facebook. Check us out. We're eagerly awaiting your responses to all podcasts, any kind of questions, comments, hate mail, love mail, whatever it may be. Rock Under Fire on Twitter, Rock Under Fire on Facebook, and rockunderfire.com.
So?
What do you got, Mike?
All right.
Are we? Hey, wait, let me just. How are we going to do this? Are we going to go one? You'll do one. You'll do one. I'll do one. You'll do one. I mean, do you want to break it that way, or do you want to go?
Compiling mine as we speak,
let's
man.
Do that.
So
we'll do one, one, and one.
Yeah, because this is we switched topics at the last minute. We were going to do one show, and then we kind of just decided to do a different show. So we're just kind of going off the cuff here. No preparation.
Yeah, so. That's true. No prep at all. I actually am trying to think of my third.
All right, so this is totally spontaneous.
Yeah, we'll do one.
Okay, I think that's a problem.
I got my number one. After that, I'm reaching.
All right, Mike, start it off.
All right, so I'm going to go with Led Zeppelin 1977.
Wow.
Already steal your thunder?
Yeah, he totally stole my thunder.
Well, actually, I think we had a conversation about this once. We were texting. We had like a group text going once where we had this discussion about a year ago.
And it spilled over to the pub.
Yeah.
See, and I kind of agree.
Oh,
are we in agreement on Zeppelin? Is it the same year?
77?
77?
See, I go a little earlier than 77.
All right. I'll take 77. I'm going to say 77. 72 was a good time, too. That was right between 4 and Houses of the Holy.
Yeah.
And Houses of the Holy, we know that in 73 was when they recorded at the Garden and they filmed the whole Song Remains the Same movie.
I was 73.
Summer of 73. Okay. 77.
I think I was
thinking
that was
73.
73.
I was wrong. 77, they were just firing
on all
cylinders, man. Yeah, 75 was the greatest band in the world at that point. You know, there was nothing they couldn't do. They were fishing for shark out of their fucking hotel windows.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, Mighty Led Zeppelin. So that kind of steals all of our thunder because we all just agreed on that one.
We may have different reasons for choosing different tours. I agree a lot.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with 77 because 77 was, you know, you have everything preceding it. You have what we know is the Song Remains the Same concert. You know, you have everything that was played in those shows. You have the best of Physical Graffiti. You have stuff from Presence. Plant hadn't really, it wasn't that noticeable that his voice was changing at that
beginning
point. If you listen to the shows from In Through the Outdoor or what they did at Nebworth in 79, it was clear that Plant was losing his voice. It was you know, after Bonham died.
Yeah, they were about ready to drop to a little bit to help him out.
The big discussion was, you know, Zeppelin will never reform because of our drummer. We can never replace Bonzo. Bullshit.
What year are you talking about, bro?
Anytime after Zeppelin hung it up, and then as the 80s went into the 90s, it was always like, well, who are they going to drum? Who are they going to get to drum?
Right.
Who's going to replace Bonham?
So
I think the real question was always who's going to sing?
So they tuned down a little bit?
I think they were on the verge of doing it.
In 77, they were still killing it. There was nobody. Yeah. You know, there are times when, you know, we're talking about the Stones. The Stones are the greatest band on the planet. And then you're listening to the Beatles. The Beatles are the greatest band on the planet.
Drink.
You know, I've had that thing. Drink, Tracy. Take a shot.
I just
and
totally
then when and then off. When I'm listening to you know, if you're listening to Zeppelin, man, you know, any bootleg from 77 or 75 for that matter, any fucking bootleg,
right,
you know, from the 70s, they're the fucking greatest band on the planet.
Yeah, the greatest live band for sure.
For those 3 hours, they're the greatest band on the planet.
Yeah, they really are, man.
They're powerful.
And you know, you get Achilles' Last Stand, which is my favorite Zeppelin song.
Woo.
It's just their finest moment. But maybe we could do it out to 25-minute no quarter. But at that point, I mean, they were pushing the envelope on that tour. I mean, they were playing 3.5 hours without an intermission.
Yeah.
25 minutes.
A lot of it was because of like the half hour Dazed and Confused, then no quarter stretched to the same length. It was insane.
You ever hear Tool's
version? They played for 1 hour and they only played 2 songs.
Tool does a great cover.
How long ago did that? Is that?
I'd like to hear that.
Whatever year Howard Stern's movie came out, it was like a year after or so, because it was supposed to be on Howard's soundtrack.
Right.
And they pulled it at the last minute because they wanted to record it and use it in their own like.
It was supposed to be on like in Howard's movie.
In the movie, yeah.
Wow.
He
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for years he had said that you know, there was a band that the last minute, you know, the 11th hour, they pulled their song out, and he never said who it was.
That was Tool, huh?
Yeah, he said, man, it sucks because I still love that band so much. Man, it was no quarter. It's a great version of the song.
You got to be able to do that justice, man. Not many people can cover Zeppelin.
They're unique enough to do it. You know, yeah. Kind of, own
Zeppelin flavor. Requires the female singer, right? Not only the dudes can sing Robert Plant. I can't. That's what
it is. It's just very difficult.
But I want to say, though, I mean, Jimmy Page is my favorite guitar player. Had to choose one. He's my favorite. Page. And to me, listening to bootlegs and stuff, Page is in his prime between like 69 and 72. I'm splitting hairs here, but he's playing in 77. Ain't what it was? 72, 69. I'm telling you.
All right, so we got something to pay this. We're all in agreement that it would be a Zeppelin show.
Yeah.
The years are just different. Mike and I definitely agree on 77. Stick's got the 69 to 72, preferably the 72.
Yeah. My favorite period of Zeppelin, and the reason I won't choose something from 69 to 72 is because those first 4 albums are not my favorite. I rank those, as good as they are, I rank those at the bottom of the list.
A lot of that stuff wasn't even there.
Zeppelin, for me, is Houses of the Holy through Presence. I don't even say In Through the Outdoor. It was a great album for what it was. You know, they had, you know, John Paul Jones had basically taken over everything. Page was too sick to function. And, you know, John Paul Jones carried that album, but for what it was.
I go Randy Rhoads is my favorite guitar player.
Guitar player, Randy Rhoads.
All right, I got one. Are you still thinking of yours? Do you want me to go next and give you a little more time? Or
I got one, Pat. You do? Go, man. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
You
got a sec. Mine, obviously, Mike already said the Led Zeppelin. Mine's going to be Pink Floyd, The Wall. Not my favorite Pink Floyd album.
Anybody, was mine too.
But anybody who knows Thanks that Pat. About me knows it's not my favorite album. But they only did 14 shows in the United States, 7 in Long Island, 7 in L.A. It was just, you know, they hated each other, so there was probably animosity there. You know, it was right before their last record. But to just see that spectacle, and they played it from beginning to end, you know, it's not even my favorite Pink Floyd album, but to see that play out live, just really would have done it for me. I mean, you know, quite honestly, we were about, 10 years old, I guess, in 80. So I'm sorry to steal your thunder, Mike, but hey, great minds think alike is what I got to say, you know.
Straight up, you saw him on when did he play? Like 5 years ago now? Or probably more. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's my horror story, man.
10 years ago that he redid the Wall live.
Oh, Roger Waters.
Yeah, the Waters show. You saw that?
No, I did not go.
How did you miss it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Wall is my second show, and you know, The Wall is my very favorite album ever, period.
Wow.
That's it for Wall.
Wow.
And it is, you know, honestly, it's my favorite Pink Floyd album, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite movie. I think the movie is just kind of that's a different discussion.
Well,
that's debatable. So yeah, the concert you mentioned is like insult to injury, because 30 years, you know, obviously I was 10 years old when those concerts happened.
Right.
I remember when the album came out. I remember how huge it was. I remember how it was just every kid in school was singing that song. The teacher hated it.
We don't need no damn education.
They wanted the song taken off the air.
Yeah,
it was kind of like, Go figure.
Again, it's not even my favorite record.
You guys both chose The Wall, really, for number two.
So 30 years later, Roger Waters goes on tour. He's doing The Wall. Now, I've seen Gilmore solo, and I've seen Waters solo. And Gilmore, it's like, and I've seen Gilmore with Pink Floyd. The only Pink Floyd I've seen
is
Gilmore. And it's basically you're watching solo Gilmore. Because when Roger Waters goes out, I mean, he did the best Pink Floyd show I've ever seen solo.
So he did most of the vocal stuff on the records. Yeah, so, you know,
and that was his right. baby. You know,
I mean, but the stuff that Gilmore
put solos and
when they toured as Pink Floyd in like the 80s, the Gilmore stuff really shined. You know what I mean? And he made it that way because they hated him so much.
To me, those albums were Gilmore solo albums. Though The Division Bell, I like it. Momentary Lapse of Suck Ass.
I love that record. Really? I really absolutely love that record.
No, it's good. It's good. I just didn't
matter one way or another.
I don't know. No. It just wasn't a Pink Floyd album to me. It was just kind of. It sounds more like Gilmore's solo work.
I gotta listen to that now. It's been a while. Long
go, go with Momentary Lapse before Division.
I want to go more. I want to check Momentary Lapse out again. It's been a while.
Dogs of
War was on that record. Dogs of War was just fantastic. I mean, let's just be honest here. I mean, when you're listening to Floyd, you know, back in the day, I might not have been of a sound mind, but Dogs of War for me was just like, whoa, this is taking me back to like some good classic stuff.
Right.
Gilmore's voice was still really solid.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're two for two, I think I'm going to change my third, though, because I have a funny feeling that there's going to be some agreement on my third, and I don't know.
There's no way you're going to agree again on your third.
You don't think so, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe
the band. Maybe the band, but maybe not the tour.
If you agreed on the third.
But check this out. So Roger Waters announces that he's doing The Wall. This is 2010, right? 30 years later. Is it 30 years? I'm not. Yeah, 30 years. This guy gets me a ticket for my birthday. To see The Wall at the Garden, all right? And, you know, my birthday's in May. The concert happened to be on his birthday in November. So, like, there's, like, a six-month difference, whatever it is. Am I doing the math right? Okay.
It was a good gift.
Great gift. So, I'm like, I'm finally going to see The Wall. Great, man. I had, and this is even before YouTube, where I could actually see footage of what happened in 1980.
Yeah.
I had read about it. I had seen pictures. I tried to construct in my head what it looked like, you know, the whole thing. And then the Uniondale footage comes on YouTube like somewhere around 10 years ago from the Nassau Coliseum. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I remember when I was 10 years old and I asked my mother to call and get tickets, and she pretended to talk on the phone with Ticketron sold out, because that's what my mother used to do. Kiss tickets and Zeppelin tickets and whatever else it was.
Springsteen,
River Tour in 1980, you know. So, yeah. So I'm like, I'm flashing back on like, this is my whole life here. 30 years is like, you know, so 30 years later, I'm finally going to see The Wall. The day of the show, that morning, I wake up with vertigo. Vertigo, man. The world was spinning.
Have you had vertigo? I have, yes.
On the porcelain altar.
Not dry heaving. Not a fun thing.
Can't walk.
It's debilitating. Completely.
I took a crap, really couldn't is. Wipe
it's
my
the
ass.
Best excuse for anything.
Okay, man. Yeah, then just leave you alone. Leave alone, he has vertigo.
So needless to say, we had to get rid of my ticket.
I gave your ticket to a guy that would later start sleeping with my girlfriend. And that's a true story.
That sucks even more. Sorry you had vertigo, but that...
Didn't care that much.
You know, it's funny.
I didn't see The Wall.
Before the interweb, I had that concert from Long Island on cassette bootleg. And there used to be a guy in US 1 Flea Market. Those of you from New Jersey will know where I'm talking about. But he dealt in bootleg videos, bootleg cassettes and stuff.
Is that US 1?
Yeah, US 1 Flea Market. Did I say that?
Maybe Gene. Talking about Gene? The Kiss guy?
The Kiss dude. Oh, absolutely.
Kiss merch. He had a huge wig.
And there was another dude in Rawway, Little Joe Records, who dealt a lot of bootlegs. When I picked it up, it was a two cassettes. And he even drew like the artwork on the outside of it, like a Pink Floyd with like really funky letters. I listened to that thing a long time, man. So there we go. All right, we're gonna bring it. What do you got, Stick?
I have a concert. I did a lot of thinking about this. I was inclined to go to Zeppelin, but I believe it, But that aside, man, reading the history books, I think I conclude that the concert I'd like to go to most is the Monterey Pop Festival, 1967, man. Summer of Love.
It's a good one, man.
Everything I've read suggests that the vibes were super positive. The sun was shining, and to a man and woman, everybody had a transforming experience listening to Otis Redding and Hendrix. The Owsley White Lightning acid was in plentiful supply, and it was a great vibe by everyone.
And
it was the first festival. There was really no festival.
Well, that's interesting because when we first had this discussion and what our topic was going to be, I didn't know if I should use the festival because obviously I would love to see Woodstock. Monterey is fantastic for every reason you just said, and then some.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if I should throw a festival in there. And I didn't know if I should stick it. It really was in the back of my mind.
We weren't thinking of festivals.
No, but that's cool.
That doesn't count. No.
It absolutely counts.
Why?
It absolutely counts. It's a concert. It's one you're going to travel back in time to go see.
I'm not going to accept that one. Sorry. You're disqualified.
We strictly said no festival.
Give me a 1,000-page paper on why Bob Dylan suffered for your sins.
All right. So
that was good. Woodstock might not have been as fun as it sounds. You got to take a shit. There's nowhere to go. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You're in a mud bath down by the creek. Yeah.
There's a space. Think of it. There's a line here, and there's a line here.
Get closer.
We can't cross this line, and we can't cross that line. If you cross this line, it sounds like this. If you cross this line over here, it sounds like this.
Oh shit! Yeah, I gotta get with this one. Okay.
It sucks is that we're all three very animated people.
It's not the beer, I swear. It's really not. No.
We're all three very animated people, but we move around so much and talk with our hands. Moving around. Absolutely, it's hard to maintain one area, one microphone.
That's what you guys are doing. Look at the microphone. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I kind of am. I'm like staring down the barrel of a gun. All right, so.
Or concerts, boys.
I don't know, man. I sat here and thought about it, but I'm going to throw it out there. And I know one of you guys is going to. I would have wanted to see Kiss on the Destroyer tour. Can I take it from you?
Oh, no. What is he going to say?
I just wanted to see Kiss on the Destroyer tour. To me, that was like everything. It epitomized my whole childhood. Seeing them climbing over those rocks, and I was just like, that is what I want to see. I want to be that. I want to do that. I'm sorry. I know Mike has there's a strong chance that he's going to say that, maybe not that tour, but there's a strong chance that it's going to be a Kiss era concert. And I thought long and hard because Black Sabbath is a real, real, real close. They're right there.
Right.
To see Black Sabbath in their prime, come on, man. To me, without Black Sabbath, there was no Kiss. That's my opinion. So I'll go to you, Mike, because I know you got a Kiss one right in the cannon already.
It almost wasn't, because I'm thinking like, okay, I'm thinking Hendrix. I'm thinking like all of like the dead rock stars, man, of this Morrison. The Doors crossed my mind. The Beatles would have been nice. Drink, Tracy. But the Beatles are like, the Beatles never really played longer than like 25 minutes. You go there, you can't hear them. It's like, I remember that conversation we had and the Beatles came up.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know what? Yeah, of course I would have loved to have seen the Beatles, but even it's not going to be one of my three concerts, man, because
when they were still touring, they weren't touring the stuff that I would want to hear.
First of all, they couldn't hear
them. I didn't want to go see the Beatles when they got off the plane and were playing, Shea Stadium. That wasn't for me. No. I wanted to see the Beatles when they were smoking pot, dropping acid. I wanted to see that Beatles live. By then, they were done touring.
Yeah, no, those Beatles didn't play live. No, it was Beatles.
So, yeah.
They hit the roof. That was it.
After, careful consideration, you're right. I would have loved to have seen the Love Gun tour. 77. The gatefold sleeve of the live two, you open that up, and it's just like,
okay,
Okay. It's like the entire world, yeah, man, in that photographs, you know, that's all you needed at the age of seven.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't need no AFX racing track. You didn't need, you know, your Steve Austin rocket ship. And that's Steve Austin, the $6 million man, not the rest
not
of
the rest
people.
Of them. Me and my brother used to beat the shit out of each other with those racetrack sets. Those, so. That like, sounds like a whip.
Yeah, it was like AFX versus Tyco. If you were a Tyco person or if you were an AFX. I was an AFX guy, so.
So right. Really talking about
so, yeah,
going
Kiss,
back in time?
Kiss, Love Gun 77, the Love Gun stairs, the snake, dare I say it.
Madison Square Garden,
was it,
the whole
was it,
string
was it a snake or a dragon? That thing that was on the side of the stage by Gene.
Kind of like a dragon to me. But the string of shows that your mom pretended to call and get you tickets.
She called Bambergers.
Like in 77.
Ticketron.
Oh, they were all sold out.
They're sold out. You're not going.
You found out later that those shows weren't sold out by a little bit of research.
Yeah, they probably cost like $4.50 to get in that. Can you imagine the price of that ticket now?
I could have saw a Love Gun, Ma. No.
Yeah, thanks, Ma. I sat at
home.
Day's
coming up.
I sat at home listening to Frankie Valli records.
The funny thing is about those concerts, and we thought that they were sold out, but they really weren't.
Now, going to a concert then was so much more accessible than it is today.
You think so?
Yeah.
Accessible? Well, in a
but
sense,
we didn't
he's
know
right.
About it. I think
no, as we didn't. But if I was my age then, you could have gotten to any one of those shows. Now, like you said, to try and get a Bruce concert, a Bruce ticket now.
Yeah.
Not even the River Run that he just did, but just any show to see Bruce, and you're on the balls of your ass.
Yeah. There was this contention about ticket sales with Kiss over the years, and that Kiss is selling just as many tickets today as they were back in the 70s.
Mm.
And if you look at the concert attendance, it's pretty much the same.
Mm.
Now, my point is that without getting into a whole Kiss discussion about, you know, the original band versus the current band, now Kiss has taken, in order to play venues of that size, they have to have a co-headliner like Def Leppard or Motley Crue. Otherwise,
they can't
sell out an amphitheater by themselves. Back then, when the tickets, like the capacity of the Garden is 20,000, you rope off a quarter of the arena, right? And the attendance for those Kiss shows on the Love Gun tour were 14,000 people.
Are you really saying they had half the Garden roped off for the
No,
Love
they
Gun
had
tour?
Maybe a quarter of it because there weren't they didn't sell seats behind the stage. Like most of those like hard rock and metal shows, they didn't sell seats behind the stage. Now here's
surprised.
The thing, like back in the 70s and even the early 80s, I'm going to tell you about why I disagree with what you said though.
Okay.
First.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
As far as accessibility, back then when something was sold out, a lot of people, it was like a deterrence, man. Like, oh, you know, that's got to be sold out. Like Kiss or any concert back then. Like, oh, it's got to be sold out. No chance of seeing Kiss. Elvis was touring back then. Elvis was playing the Garden. And so, you know, it was like, who's ever going to get a chance to see Elvis, right? Back then, the only way of getting tickets was to stand online.
Mm.
Some people camped out for days. Mm. And it got so bad in the 80s that you had to get... You had to stand online just to get a wristband, just to stand on another line, and that didn't even guarantee you tickets.
Yeah.
That was it. You camped
long before
out
the internet
for tickets.
Kiddies.
You stood on a fucking line for days sometimes.
86, Pink Floyd, Middlesex.
You mentioned Bruce. I remember people being camped out for a week in 1984 outside on Broad Street, North Broad Street in Elizabeth at that place, Vogels.
Well,
you remember that record store,
records,
Vogels?
Yeah, Vogels,
right?
Absolutely.
Seeing the Bruce
all
lines.
Who's the other registers that are all with
him? I remember standing online to see Priest. I remember standing online to see The Who just to get a wristband and then going back the next day.
Standing
and I didn't even get a ticket. Today, you have the internet where, you know, you have various different sources. You know, up until recently, you can just go to Ticketmaster.com or else Live Nation. Or, you know, if that's sold out, you go where? What's that other one? StubHub? Now Ticketmaster is in on the corruption of just like automatically directing you to StubHub or whatever they're.
Okay, well,
you know,
here's my thing. I can agree with what you said, but the accessibility, I'm still going to kind of stand behind it because those bands were doing multiple nights in those venues. Now, if you get two nights, then they're out of here. But they right off the bat said, okay, we're going to be playing here for five straight nights.
Not everybody does that.
Is that always the case, though, nowadays? I mean, now Bruce has extended
stages. Yeah, he's done.
Not everybody.
I know it's Billy Joel.
Very few.
Yeah, not everybody can hold an arena and sell out an arena for like.
No, but they still had an opening act with them. I mean, you can go back to like Van Halen or Blue Oyster Cult or whatever. You know, they still had an opening act. But they were right off the bat saying, all right, we're going to play. They weren't selling out and then saying, we're going to add a night, which is what commonly happens now.
Right.
They would sell out. They're trying to fight for that demand.
Nobody in their right mind will book five nights without knowing they could sell it out.
Absolutely not. So quite possibly maybe
that Kiss
fifth
was
night,
doing that.
Sure they were. Absolutely.
You know, they had to actually cancel a show on the Dynasty Tour because it didn't sell.
So, I mean, you know, maybe quite possibly, as I was going to say, quite possibly that fifth night, maybe it wasn't as crowded as that opening night.
And most of their opening acts back in the day were not headline acts. Now Kiss is touring. Anytime that Kiss tours the States, they get a group of equal popularity in order to sell out half the arena.
And Kiss aside,
not even
though,
the arena,
how many people, like now you would find, I know people personally who would get a ticket to every one of that string of shows. That wasn't happening, I don't think, as often then as it does now. Mm-hmm. I just don't think.
Only certain bands.
Kiss aside, because Kiss, they were a mammoth. So, I mean, there were people probably going to every one of those shows. You know, I know a guy who went to the whole river run for the Bruce show. This is just recently.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I just think that there was accessibility there. And people were just a little more frugal with their money. So, they weren't going to go to a string of five nights.
Yeah,
you know,
they gotta be a little fanatical. Let's face it.
Oh, absolutely.
Not everybody's that deep.
Zeppelin was another one that was doing five nights at the Garden anytime that they played.
Did they do the same in like North Dakota? Maybe not.
No, the major cities.
Yeah, but people were coming down from Boston or from Western Pennsylvania to get out to New York City and stuff. So
right, you know, something like as we get into the 80s, or again, we stood in line to see Priest. Priest only played one show. Like most of the metal acts did one show, one night, and they were almost never sold out.
Yeah, that was completely different. There was definitely more of a roped off area of those shows. Than there
right.
was. I saw Giant Stadium is when I saw Pink Floyd, and there were no roped off areas.
No, but
that place was.
So they had the whole stage.
Yeah. And it was the old Giant Stadium, too, for those of you listening who know Giant Stadium. You know, from the opening notes of Shine On You Crazy Diamond, I thought that place was going to lift off the ground and fly away on one hell of a night.
I saw the Division Bell at that stadium.
We were together
Momentary
for that, right?
Lapse was at the Garden.
It's a good place to see a show.
We saw the Division Bell.
It's a good place to see a show. It definitely was. It carried sound well. It held sound, you know, like for being an open air football stadium.
That was where they had the giant disco ball come out in the middle of the stadium. They're uncomfortably numb and start spinning around.
Yeah, the pig flying down with the red eyes.
Yeah.
The pig. What's the first song on metal? I'm going to cut you to pieces.
Oh, one of these days.
My God. I lie with that pig.
So a guy smoked. Falls. That funny thing about that tour is the pig came out. I might have told you this story already. The pig comes out and it's flipping and flopping and it's on a string. And there's this guy just underneath it. You know, he's out of his mind on, you know, like dosing. And he's dancing underneath it. He looks like he's at a dead show, really. And he's dancing. And the dude just was like, whew, and fell down like three steps, four steps. Everybody's surrounded him. And here goes the pig just moving through the audience.
I tell you, though, fellas, regarding the Kiss show, though, talking about Kiss 1976 Destroyer Tour, didn't go far enough.
Are you going further back, huh?
No. Didn't go deep enough. Lakeland, Florida. It is the show.
I want to see Ace Fry
and the inspiration for Shock Me song that came in late. Wow. We had somewhere significant.
Single it down to a significant moment in history.
He really did. Not only did he go back in time, I mean.
He wants to see Ace get fried. He wants that show.
Doc Brown dropped him off in the DeLorean in front of that place in Florida. So, I mean. This didn't go as I thought.
I wish I was on the side of the road for Ace's accident.
It didn't go as well as I thought it was going to go.
What's that?
This. I mean, the conversation was great.
Yeah.
But we picked same tours.
I have another show I can talk
about. Mike and I picked the exact same year for Led Zeppelin.
We need to disagree more, man.
We do.
This isn't going
to
work.
We need to hate each other.
Man. We need to, like, fight or something, at least, like, a fist fight or something. Like, you know,
and that's where you come in, folks.
Or like that. What's that? Who's that guy? A stick. Who's the guy in the Brian Jonestown Massacre? Yeah, him.
Anton Newcomb.
Newcomb. Oh, man. Talk about the runners-up.
Runners-up. I don't know. Mine was Black Sabbath. There's no question about it.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is going well. We're on. Yeah, we're running.
So we'll talk about
the runner-up. Great, man. Just somebody gets up and takes a piss in the middle of a podcast.
We'll go runner-up, I guess.
To break the seal, boys.
And my runner-up, obviously, I even mentioned it before, would have been Black Sabbath. And to be honest with you, I don't even have a tour in mind. I don't care. I just wanted to see Black Sabbath play, man.
Mm.
And I got to see them. Ozzy, unfortunately, was 70 years old when I saw them at PNC Art Center. I'm talking Black Sabbath with Ozzy with the greasy, long, blondish hair and all stoned out of his mind, you know.
You always hear stories of them playing like high schools locally. Yeah. You hear guys talking about that.
Gymnasium. Yeah,
$5 if you saw them at Woodbridge High School gymnasium.
Ozzy's first solo record. You can look at some of the footage on that thing with Randy and like and Sars and stuff. They're in like this gym. I'm like, what is what in the hell is that? The Woodbridge Barons play there or something?
Amen.
Oh my God. Yeah, these are some of those old ticket stubs you see, like the same thing. So-and-so theater. I'm like, what?
That is one show that you do want to be at. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pre-arena.
Yeah.
Pre-arena period, yeah, man. You know, there wasn't even, I mean, if you played in Jersey up until 1981, it was the Capitol Theater.
That's it.
There was no arena. We didn't have, that's why there were so many more shows at the Nassau Coliseum. Like, you either went to the Garden or you went out all the way out to Long Island to see something that for a group like the size of Pink Floyd or the Stones or something, you know, it was one of those two. Otherwise, the Jersey shows were always at
Fairgrounds and the Capitol.
John Scher, Capitol Theater.
Everybody played the Capitol. Everybody.
Oh, yeah. All right, so there's my runner-up.
Your runner-up was who?
Black Sabbath. I didn't care what year. I don't care.
Good choice. You got a runner-up stick. I'm stick. Mike, edit that. Got a runner-up, Mike?
We're all stick.
Gotta get used to that.
There's a running joke for anybody who doesn't know that we all call each other stick.
That's not making the issue any simpler for you.
Yes.
I got one name.
The Stones on Exile tour.
Yeah, the Stones 72. Exile show.
Mick's birthday at the Garden.
That'd be an interesting one.
Stevie Wonder opened up. He was touring.
Tumble Dice on that record, right? That's one of my favorite Stones songs.
Tumble Dice?
People's favorite Stones album, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So imagine that, man. I mean, the Stones are out for Exile. Stevie Wonder was touring Talking Book.
Oh,
the song's Key of Life was a couple of years later, but that was the beginning of Stevie Wonder's that album. I mean, if you want to do Music of My Mind, I would include Music of My Mind if we're talking that, like Talking Book, Inner Visions.
Songs like Key of Life.
That's another discussion, man.
When you think about any bands you can see in the past, like there are a couple of legendary pairings too, man. Like a 2-for-1 deal, man. Great bands playing together. You know?
What do you got?
First of all, one that should be under consideration. I'm surprised you didn't think of this. You know more about this than me, but the Springsteen Bottom Line show in like what, 75?
I would take the River, anything from the River tour. First leg of the River tour, I would take over the Bottom Line.
But wasn't that Bottom Line show historical?
It was historical in the sense that it broke.
It was like his coming out party.
Yeah.
It really was, man, because the label was going to drop him.
That's such a good one, man. That's a home run.
That's not even my one, though. That led me to think of my one.
Well, you're going to pick something from Darkness.
No, I'm not.
No.
I'm going to pick. We were talking about this two nights ago. Talk about a bill. There was a time when when Bob Marley opened for Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, there you go. Max is Kansas City.
Bruce Springsteen on the same bill.
Bob Marley opening up for The Boss, but you know it was.
That's pretty incredible.
73 Max is Kansas City. That did happen.
Max's of all places.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That was the first one you mentioned was at the Bottom Line, right?
Yeah.
Is that when he was on the covers of both magazines simultaneously?
Yeah.
The world was his oyster at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
They had footage of that on PBS played footage of that, and it was just, they all looked like pimps, but it was just man.
Back when we were a hat.
Steven looked like something. Yeah, when we were a hat.
They wore hats.
Yeah, you could have hung pom-poms over the brim of Clarence's hat, man. You might have. No.
Big pork chop sideburns.
Mm. Yeah.
I think those are actual pork chops hanging
outside.
Even Bruce's hat. That thing looked like it stunk. It was driven over by a truck. And I'll put that back on my
I'll take anything from 1980 over 75, though, man. Just for the, I mean, that was just absolute. But it wouldn't be one of my three concerts.
So we came up with some interesting concerts. Looking back at the list now, we did all right.
I think we did. I mean, it was it's unfortunate that we're friends because we have similar musical tastes.
Physical Meatloaf of 87.
But depending on sophisticated listeners that don't need a lot of yelling and fighting to tune in. Although we will resort to that if we have to.
Oh, we are going to have debates, I promise you.
Just don't spill anything on the freaking mixer. Be careful with AIDS. It's a little dusty.
Yeah, I'm going to take this opportunity once again to promote Twitter. Rock Under Fire on Twitter. Rock Under Fire on Facebook.
Like our page. Follow us on Twitter. Like our Facebook page.
Hate us. Love us. Leave us tweets. We are
follow our shit.
We're definitely going to be reading some stuff online. As you know from the last episode, we did some top 40 list stuff, and we went through like top 5 stuff. I am still working on that list. That is not an easy thing to do. I mean, that's like that old NEW thing, that Desert Island Discs that they used to do. I could never. What, they gave me like 5 records to take with you?
3 it was.
Just 3? Yeah. Oh my God, that's even worse. I don't think I could do 5, and they want me to do 3?
Yeah.
We actually had the discussion because I said the Royal Scam would be one of them, one of the 3, and I don't know what order. That would definitely be one of the 3.
Open a can of worms, Pat.
Now, would the Royal Scam be one of your, like, if you had to make your top, instead of, you know, top favorite artists of all time, if you were doing your top albums, would the Royal Scam be one of those top 3 albums that you would take it?
No.
On a desert island?
On a desert island, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You only could exist for the rest of your life with 3 albums.
The same record over and over again.
The Royal Scam will be.
Man, you know something? Jesus Christ.
Make them double albums.
Countdown to Ecstasy is pretty goddamn good. Countdown to Ecstasy is pretty goddamn
Think
good.
About what yeah. you're saying, Pat.
I know. It's the Royal Scam just always holds
the Steely Bands in his top 5, he says. So he knows what he's talking about.
There's probably Allman Brothers records that I could listen to over, you know, forever. I'm no lie. I can listen to the album over and over and over again. I know the first record that I could probably listen to the first 6 months I'm on an island, I could listen to Animals by Pink Floyd for the first 6 months straight. Every single day, morning, noon, and night, from the second I opened my eyes until I drank myself stupidly with coconut water, going to bed.
Say, we're getting only alcohol from
rum. I'm making coconut rum.
Making your own rum?
I'm Jack Goddamn Sparrow.
You're a good person to get stranded with, bro.
That record for me, Animals, there's probably somebody brought up before their favorite record of all time was The Wall. Was that you?
Yes. Right.
My favorite record of all time is Animals.
My favorite Floyd record is Animals.
I put that a close second behind The Wall.
It's just so well produced. And just every sound on that record, they knew what they were doing and they put it there for me. That's a whole other show, though. And I am working on that list as hard as it's going to be. Everybody going to laugh at me for talking about Steely Dan and the Royal Scam. At least it's not the Beatles, Tracy.
It's my favorite Steely Dan album.
Okay.
We went to see Steely Dan play the Royal Scam in its entirety. That's, you know, I love the album.
Tell me and Pat Bond.
It's not.
Yeah.
But you obviously love them more than we do. I think they came up. What was my list last week? Last week.
Last
show.
Should be in front of you.
They were in the 20s, 27 or 26 or something like that.
Yeah, I think Steely Dan was
22.
Right. That's pretty respectable, bro.
Yeah, man.
At the top 40 of all time, that is, you know.
That's high up there.
Most people aren't even.
I have them right between Jimi Hendrix and Tom Waits on my list.
They're not even on most people's radar, so.
Yeah.
You know,
it's either, they're like a love-hate band. You either love them or hate them. As I mentioned, Steely Dan, people either love them.
If that is ever a subject in the show, you know Steely Dan is number one.
Certain groups and artists that just, like, provoke all of, like hate, man.
Comedians like, have, hatred, like, Steely Dan routines, man.
Yeah. Oh, that's about it, man.
That's about it, boys. Follow us.
We'll be back for another conversation soon.
Let us know what you can go back in time. You know, throw a shout out to us. Hashtag it if you want to. Back in time rock concert. You know, we'll pick a few out and read them.
Yeah, send us your cards and letters. Keep them coming. You're an attractive woman, come talk to us.
Welcome to 1975.
He's got to use that every week. Send us your cards and letters. Because it's just so like 1980. Send us your cards and letters. No email or tweets. Send us your cards and thanks for coming in the room with like a giant sack of mail. Mailbag! Boom! You just read one up. This letter comes from Johnny Applestick in Des Moines, fucking Iowa.
Take his towel. Rock his towel. Get on that note.
Bad news keeps pouring on me. Bad news keeps pouring on me. Bad news keeps pouring on me. Bad news keeps pouring on me.